Psalm 87. And again, we'll read the whole psalm. We're going to look at verse 6. And what we're looking at here, just as a reminder, we're looking at the glorious things that are spoken about the city of God. So Psalm 87, verse 1. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. And here's one of the first, verse 4. I shall mention Rahab and Babylon among those who know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there. But of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High Himself will establish her. The Lord will count when He registers the peoples. This one was born there. Then those who sing as well as those who play the flute shall say, all my springs of joy are in you. And of course, what's the topic? It's the city of God, or the city of Zion. And this is not the earthly city. This is the heavenly city of Jerusalem. And so as he goes down here and he says, verse 3, glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. And then what we wanted to notice is exactly what was spoken of this city. And we notice that in verse 4, that what is spoken there is this. This one was born there. Again, in verse 5, you're going to see another thing that was spoken. This one and that one, or we would say today, everyone, were born in her. And then in verse 6, you have another glorious thing of this city that is spoken when it says, the Lord will count when he registers the people. And what was said? This one was born there. And then in verse 7, you have the musicians of that city who say, glorious things, all my springs of joy are in you. Now, there's other descriptions of this city in the Bible, but here in this psalm, those things are the glorious things that are spoken about this heavenly Jerusalem. The one that Paul refers to as the mother of us all. And so, what did we see? Well, last Wednesday, we looked at the glorious things spoken of his people. And the first thing that we noticed, in verse 4, is the first glorious joy is the truth that Gentiles are included among the people of God. These were the enemies of God. And I use this illustration. This would be like Nazi Germany and Israel inhabiting the same city, living in peace. That's how the Jew would have looked at this particular situation. Or this, it would be like the Russians and the Ukrainians dwelling in the same city in peace. And when we think about those two situations, we just think there is no way that those two people could dwell together there in peace. Well, it's going to take what for that to happen? It's going to have to take a birth. And that's exactly what he mentions here. Verse 4, when it comes to the Gentiles, this one was born there. The second glorious joy is seen in verse 5, and that is this, that even the Jews are included among the people of God. Well, how does a Jew who's called an earthly people of God, how do they become citizens of this heavenly Jerusalem? Well, they have to be born from above, just like anyone else. When it says, verse 5, everyone was born in her. And then the third glorious joy that we looked at was the fact that I just mentioned that all of these people had to have a birthright. All of these people have to have a birth certificate. indicating that their birth city is the heavenly Jerusalem. And so there is a hint about all of this. And we concluded by saying, if we looked at verse 5, when it says, "And the Most High Himself will establish her." How does the Lord establish that heavenly Jerusalem? He establishes it by giving it people. People who were born from above. And folks, when we think about that, we think about the people that are there, surely these are glorious things that bring joy to the people of God. Whether you are a born-again Jew or you are a born-again Gentile, these are occasions of joy springing up inside of us. Well, tonight I want to look at verse 6. We saw glorious things spoken of His people, and here there are glorious things spoken of their citizenry. Their citizenship is here in that city. You'll notice in verse 6, the Lord, Yahweh, will count when He registers the peoples. And so what we know here is this. Folks, a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without the Lord knowing it, right? And the Lord knows the people and the number of this city. Did you notice that? It says the Lord will count when He registers the people. He knows the number that are in that city. And folks, that citizenship that we're talking about here is mentioned in our New Testament. And so let's just look at three passages here. Go to the book of Ephesians and go to chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. As we go to the end of that chapter, what Paul is reminding the Gentiles were, verse 11, that they were formerly Gentiles in the flesh, and they were called uncircumcised. And in verse 12, he wants them to remember that they were at a time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant, no hope, without God in the world. But who brought the Gentile people near? Christ brought him near. And so he talks about that all the way down. I'll begin reading in verse 18. It says, "For through Him," that is Christ, "we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. So then," verse 19, "you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow" what? "Fellow citizens with the saints and are of the God's own household." So folks, there is a citizenry that is comprised of Jews that have been born from above, but now through the gospel, God is reaching into the uttermost parts of the earth. There were other sheep that needed to be brought into this fold, Jesus said. And that is us. And Paul reminds them of this, and then he just says, look, we're not lesser citizens, we're not sub-citizens, we are what? Fellow citizens. We have been engrafted into that vine, as Romans chapter 11 would point out. Glory for that, that we are now fellow citizens. It's not that the Jews are lording over us, it's not that we're lording over them, but we are one in that city. Look over in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Paul is exhorting us to press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, verse 14. And so he says to this church, verse 15, "Let us therefore, as many as are perfect or as mature, have this attitude." And so people that are mature in their Christianity, they do have this attitude about this one thing we're doing. reaching forward to what lies ahead. They're living their lives for another time and another place. And he says in verse 17, he says, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." Now in verse 18, he's going to bring to mind that there are those who are claiming the name of Christ, but were not walking after the pattern of the apostolic company and of the apostle Paul. He says in verse 18, "For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame." And folks, where is their mind? Their mind is on earthly things. Everybody see that? Verse 20. "Because our citizenship is" where? Everybody see that? Their minds are on earthly things. But where's our citizenship? It's in heaven. So our mind is not set on earthly things. It's set on heavenly things. Everybody see that? That doesn't mean that you never think about the things that we have to do under the sun. But there's just this maturity. There's this constant light snapback. We're living for another time and another place. We're living for a place that's ruled by the grace of God. And it's a real city, and it's really there, and there really are spirits of just men made perfect in that city. We're longing to enter into those gates. And so verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power which He has even to subject all things to Himself." Even your humble earthly body will be made subject unto Him. Hallelujah for that. That's a glorious thing, is it not? Our citizenship there in that city. And then the third is over in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. We've referred to this, this passage before. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 22. "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn." Now note this, who are what in heaven? They are enrolled in heaven and to God. Everybody see that? When you're enrolled in heaven, that is the list of those who are citizens of that city. It's like our nation would take a census. Now, we just take a broad census. Supposedly, they don't have your name and all that kind of stuff, okay? But in heaven, God not only has a broad census, He knows the names of those who are going to be there. And they have been recorded in a what? In a book or in a scroll. And so not only does God the Father know the number of the people of this city, but He has also written them down. He has wrote the names of those people down. Now let's go back to Psalm 87 and you'll see that. The Lord will count when He what the peoples? He registers them, or He writes them down. Not only is He going to write them down, but someone, it may be the Lord Himself, it might be another heavenly being, but when He counts and registers the people, someone says what in verse 6? This one was born there. Everybody see that? We're not quite sure who is making these statements. Of course, we can assume, since it's written down in our scripture, that the Lord is the one making the statement, but sometimes he makes those statements through angelic beings. But as he counts the people and as he registers their names, someone is saying, yep, that one was born here. Everybody see that? And folks, the Bible speaks about a book. It's called the Book of Life. Now, I'm not going to do a complete study on the Book of Life. I just want to look at three passages. There's about 10 or 11 referring to this book in our Bibles. But it's here. I just want to look in the New Testament. The first place we're going to look at is in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Now what happens in Luke chapter 10, you had 70 that were sent out by our Lord on evangelistic trip. They were there to prepare the way of the Lord. And so in verse 17, they return with great joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Everybody see that? If you were given the power to heal people, would that bring you a lot of joy? If you could cast out demons and heal diseases and that happened, and it happened consistently over and over and over, you would probably come in the back door leaping for joy. Jesus says, don't do that. But he does tell us what to have joy over. Look at verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are what? Recorded in heaven. Everybody see that? Rejoice in that your names are recorded in heaven. Now, I don't think that that brings us as much joy as it ought to. I think we would get a lot more joy if all of a sudden you prayed for $10,000 and went out in the front porch and there it was. Or if you were given power or your disease was healed. But if I said to you, all right, before we sing a song this morning, I just want you to know that every believing person here, your name is recorded in heaven. You go, okay, well, what's the number? What's the song number? But that's supposed to bring us what? Great joy. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. Turn over back to the book of Philippians. We were already there looking at that citizenry. Philippians chapter 4 we're going to turn to this time. And in Philippians 4, we had an issue of two ladies that were here in the church at Philippi who were genuinely converted. And they were very active, even in Paul's apostolic company. And yet, they fell out with one another. And so, Paul's writing this epistle back to the church at Philippi. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, who I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in what? Live in harmony in the Lord. Everybody see that? Now, are you ready for why? Verse 3. Indeed, true companion, I asked you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are where? they are in the book of life. Now, folks, remember what we've learned about this city. Everyone is born there, right? All on the same level ground. Now, we're going to have different responsibilities, but we're all born there. We're all sinners saved on the same level ground by being born from above. And so he says to these ladies, now look, you recognize that you are fellow citizens, do you not? And folks, if we're fellow citizens, doesn't it make sense that we ought to live in harmony? That what's true going to be true in heaven when we're there? Do you think there's any disruption in the city of God? None. And there should be no disruption between brethren, true companions, fellow co-laborers in the house of the Lord. And the whole church, can you imagine if you were those two ladies out in the congregation? And Paul wrote and mentioned your names, and then basically he says to the whole church, now help those two get back in harmony. I would say there would be some good peer pressure there, wouldn't you think so, for that to happen? But again, for our purposes, their names are in the book of life. So Jesus says in Luke, to know that your name is written down in the book of life is to have exceeding joy. And to know that your name is written in the book of life means that you ought to have a desire to live in harmony one with another on this earth in the house of God. Everybody see those applications? All right, let's go to the last place here. The book of Revelation. There's more references in the New Testament, but for our purposes tonight, the book of Revelation, chapter 20. You know, at the end of chapter 20, you have the great white throne judgment. This is the judgment of lost people. And in verse 11, John sees a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Now, is that word books singular or plural? Plural. Now, in the Greek is the word scroll, but for our purposes, we translate it book because we don't walk around with scrolls today, but it literally is a scroll. The books were open, and another book was opened. Is that book singular or plural?
Singular.
So you got books, plural, that were open, and book, singular, was open. What was that book? It is the book of what? Life. Everybody see that? And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the singular or plural?
Plural.
According to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. So, folks, what's in the books? What's the implication here? What's written in the books? Everyone's individual deeds. Everything's recorded. Actions are recorded. Thoughts are recorded. Emotions of the heart are recorded. Nothing's lacking. They were judged according to their deeds. Verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the singular or plural?
Singular.
In the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So, folks, what we know as we return to Psalm 87, is there a book where God registers the names of those who will be in that city? Yes or no? Yes. Does he know the number that are going to be in that city? There is. And folks, I want to remind you that in other places, Psalm says that God has a name for everything. He has named every star in the sky. Could you remember all those names? He knows our names. He knows whether or not you're a believer or not. And those who are believers are citizens of that city. And the way that you get there is that it has to be a set of you. When the Lord is counting, as he registers the people, he says, oh, that one was born there. Will he say that about you? Put your name in that. Instead of saying that one, put your name in there and ask yourself, have you been born from above? Because those are the only ones ultimately that will be in that singular book of life. Glorious things of that city of God are spoken. So let's go to our